From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. For decades, the public has been anticipating the total solar eclipse of August 21st. Millions of people are expected to travel to the Path of Totality, a big swath across the U.S., hoping to witness it. Why is it a big deal? We asked NASA research space scientist Noah Petro, James Webb Telescope test engineer Nikita Gokhale, and local street astronomy organizer Ariel Hicks. She tells us why such a brief event can inspire such awe.
I mean, you get to experience this thing that has not happened in 100 years, and that's pretty phenomenal. This has all of the United States looking up together in unison, and I think, to me, that's a powerful experience.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. To the ancients, an eclipse appeared as an awe-inspiring surprise in the sky, and its veil of darkness often evoked a sign of evil or even demonic discontent. Today, thanks to technology, telescopes, and the scientists who use them, the public for decades has been anticipating the solar eclipse of August 21st. The anticipation seems only to add to the awe it inspires. Millions of people hoping to witness the event are expected to scurry into the Path of Totality, the diagonal swath across the U.S. where the full eclipse will be visible. But eclipses take place regularly, so why is this solar eclipse so notable? How can you view it safely? And what if it's cloudy? Can it still be viewed somehow? Later, we'll meet two organizers from the local street astronomy group Popscope to hear about their eclipse activities. Joining us now is Noah Petro, research space scientist at NASA in Greenbelt. Petro is also deputy project scientist for the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter mission, which is currently orbiting the moon. Welcome to On the Record, Noah.
Oh, thanks for having me.
What exactly happens during a solar eclipse?
So, the fundamentals of a solar eclipse are that the moon, our wonderful celestial neighbor, passes directly between the Earth and the sun, and the shadow of the moon falls across the face of the Earth. And so this is sort of a unique alignment, and doesn't, as you said before, it doesn't happen all that often. And when it does, we're treated to a really spectacular show.
It doesn't happen all that often, but why doesn't it happen every month? I mean, isn't the moon constantly between us, or very often between us and the sun?
So the first thing to understand is that the moon is orbiting around the Earth. And so, we don't get a total solar eclipse every month. And that's because the orbit of the moon is inclined. It's not, it's not like a hula hoop directly going around the Earth. There's a tilt of about 5 degrees to the orbit of the moon around the Earth. And that tilt means that it doesn't always directly pass between the Earth and the sun. And so in those instances where the sort of fortuitous event happens, where it does fall directly between the two, the Earth and the sun, we get an eclipse. But on most months, it's too high above or below the sun to cast its shadow across the Earth.
Why is this eclipse so noteworthy?
I mean, the reason that we're all paying attention to it is that the Path of Totality, about 70 miles wide, is going to crisscross the country. This is a transcontinental eclipse, the first time that's happened in the U.S. since 1918. So it's been just almost 100 years since we've had one of these. Now, when eclipses do occur, of course, they're going to happen anywhere on the Earth. So we have this wonderful water world that we live on, where 70% of the Earth's surface is covered in water. So for the most part, eclipses, just a lot of averages will tell us that eclipses will happen over oceans for the most part. And so having an eclipse where a large portion of the Path of Totality occurs on dry land is a great treat. So for the millions and millions and millions of people who are going to be along the Path of Totality, they'll get to see that. Also means that we get about 94 minutes of eclipse time over land, which means that we have about 94 minutes to make scientific observations of the eclipse, what happens to the surface of the Earth, the atmosphere of the Earth,
You're talking about 94 minutes for this whole path across the continental United States. At any given spot, it's less than 3 minutes, right?
That's correct. That's an excellent point. You have this speeding bullet of the shadow of the moon racing from Oregon to South Carolina at about 1,500 miles per hour. So yeah, at any one location, you'll get under 3 minutes, less than 2 minutes in most places of totality. So we'll have 94 minutes from touchdown in Oregon to when it leaves South Carolina.
94 minutes for scientists to figure out what? Why are scientists so excited about this?
These eclipses are both magnificent but also scientifically valuable. There are really multiple phenomena that are going to be observed during this eclipse or any eclipse. One, when the moon passes directly between the Earth and the sun, when the moon blocks out the sun's light, we get to see these beautiful, very faint, wispy traces of the sun's atmosphere, the solar corona. Solar corona is a really poorly understood part of the sun because, well, the sun's very bright, and so when you have this faint part of the sun, it makes it very difficult to see. And so this faint part of the solar atmosphere, the corona, becomes visible during an eclipse, and so it's during eclipses where we get our best opportunity to observe the solar corona, make measurements of its temperature. The solar corona is actually hotter than the surface of the sun, millions of degrees.
Why is that?
It remains a bit of a mystery, actually. As much as we rely on the sun all the time for our energy and for illumination, there are a lot of unknowns about the sun. But part of that reason is that the solar corona, the solar atmosphere, is probably full of superheated particles that are in its atmosphere. And so during an eclipse, we'll be making observations of temperature variations in the corona, how the corona changes over time. We'll also be observing how the Earth's atmosphere responds to an eclipse along the path of totality, where it gets dark for a few minutes. The atmosphere will cool, and so we'll observe not only the cooling of the atmosphere, so people along the path of totality will notice that it gets cooler, but you also see atmospheric effects. Different cloud patterns may form. So there are a lot of effects that scientists have yet to really fully understand.
I must say, I'm trying to get my head around the awe factor. I have not seen a solar eclipse. I've been reading and hearing people who have seen them talk about it's just the most majestic experience. Nothing matches it. It will change you. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is a couple minutes of night in the middle of the afternoon. How amazing can it be?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what that's like as well. I've never seen a total solar eclipse in person. I, from what I can glean from seeing pictures and seeing other people's responses, is that it becomes this sort of sensory event. You can imagine, we take for granted that the sun is always there. And for, again, just shy about 2 minutes, the sun's not there. You'll actually feel a change in temperature. You'll hear, again, along the path of totality, you'll hear animals in their nighttime routine. It becomes a sensory event where you see something amazing, you feel something, you hear something, and I think that's got to be very impactful.
That's Noah Petro, research space scientist at NASA, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the total solar eclipse viewable across the U.S. on August 21st. So how can people view it safely? I mean, if the sun is covered, isn't that enough protection?
Yeah, so that's a very important point, and it's critical to remind people that, especially for folks in Maryland who are not going to be in the path of totality, that you should never look at the sun. The safest way to observe the sun is during an eclipse or any time is with either solar viewing glasses, or there are indirect viewing methods where you can project the shadow of the sun and the moon onto a surface and observe it indirectly that way. That's perhaps the safest way to do it, where you're not looking at the sun at all. Those very nice sunglasses that you got for the summer are not going to cut it. If you can see, your lights in your house, if you put these glasses on, they're not strong enough. Now, during totality, if you're in the path of totality, that time when the moon is directly between the Earth and the sun, it is safe to take your glasses off, and that's where you can see this faint solar corona that otherwise you would not be able to see if you kept your glasses on.
But that's only in the path of totality, where the sun is going to be completely blocked by the moon's shadow.
That's correct.
I read on the NASA website, the safety page, you have lots of safety information. It says, do not look, this is a quote, do not look at the uneclipsed or partially eclipsed sun through an unfiltered camera, telescope, binoculars, or other optical device, close quote. And so when our morning host, Nathan Stirner, who is quite interested in things scientific, said, I should ask you, is it safe to take a selfie on your phone of the eclipse? I didn't know what to tell Nathan.
Yeah, so I think taking a selfie during the eclipse is fine. The real concern, though, is people pointing a telescope at the sun, pointing a camera at the sun, and basically, you know, an iPhone camera, a cell phone camera pointing at the sun, you know, that for a moment, that's not a problem. But if you point a telescope or a really nice digital SLR camera or a nice film camera at the sun, that's, you know, pumping a lot of solar energy onto your optics. If you don't have a filter, I wouldn't do that very long. But if you have a solar filter on your camera, on your telescope, then by all means, that's fine. What you don't want to do is take your telescope out, point it at the sun, put your sun viewing glasses on, and then look through the telescope, because all that's doing is really enhancing the rays of the sun and focusing that onto your glasses, which are not designed to look through a telescope at the sun.
For those listening around Baltimore, what's the closest place to travel in order to view the total eclipse?
You know, Nashville, Tennessee, Charleston, South Carolina, up through western North Carolina that the path goes. So from here, if you head south and west, basically, you'll run into the path. I was just in Charleston, South Carolina this past weekend, and, you know, their hotels are all booked up, and they're getting ready for an onslaught of people. But if you really are desperate to see this, you'll want to get someplace along the path of totality ahead of time. Don't leave it to the last day to just wing it and try to get there, because you'll have a lot of friends joining you on the roads as well.
So if you don't travel, if you're here in Maryland, what will you be able to see?
For Maryland and any place outside the path of totality, you'll get a partial eclipse. You'll still want to use your solar viewing glasses or indirect viewing methods. But in Maryland, we'll get on the order of about an 80% obscuration of the sun by the moon. And again, the eclipse will start happening about 1:18 in the afternoon on the 21st. Maximum eclipse happens about 2:42, and then it'll end around 4 o'clock.
If people haven't reconciled themselves to not having the full eclipse experience, but they can't travel, NASA's got a live stream?
Oh, yeah. In this day and age, everything is going to be streamed. NASA TV, which is available online, will stream, I think they have plans for a four-hour telecast around the eclipse. And then we're also partnering with a website called eclipse.stream.live, where feeds from all across the country will be available for people to follow and basically watch what's happening at various places across the path of totality.
Where are you going to be to view the eclipse?
So I am going to be in Kaiser, Oregon, along the path of totality, working a NASA event there in conjunction with a minor league baseball team, the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. We'll get to participate in the first ever eclipse delay and see a baseball game and watch an eclipse all in one day. It's going to be a very busy day.
Thank you so much for talking to us about it. Thanks.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Noah Petro is a research space scientist at NASA and deputy project scientist for its Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter mission. The total solar eclipse will be viewable across the U.S. the afternoon of August 21st. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we have links to eclipse information, especially what you need to watch it safely, and to NASA's live stream where you can watch the eclipse. I'm Sheila Cass. Quick break now, On the Record, back with two organizers from PopScope, a local citizen astronomy group. Stay with us.
We're just like the moon and sun, so quiet, so close to your name, and never meeting for moments at dusk and dawn's morning. Oh, living only for the next eclipse. Oh, ethereal collisions and skies above. Oh, knowing in this celestial moment of bliss, we become.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the solar eclipse on Monday, August 21st. NASA scientist Noah Petro gave us some tips about viewing it safely. And now we're joined by two organizers of the local citizen astronomy group, Popscope. They have suggestions for how the average eclipse enthusiast can offer input into what scientists learn from this anticipated event. Ariel Hicks is a research assistant at the Center for Health Equity at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, as well as a seasoned amateur astronomer. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having us.
And also here is Nikita Gokhale, a James Webb Space Telescope test engineer at the Space Telescope Science Institute. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Ariel, tell us about Popscope. How did it start?
Popscope started in Ottawa. It's an urban movement that aims to reconnect diverse communities to the night sky and to each other by hosting free pop-up public astronomy nights. So the idea is to promote community and STEM education at the same time.
Community and STEM, science, technology, mm-hmm. engineering, and math education mm-hmm. at the same time. So how do your events work?
So we kind of have two different styles of events. There are organic events, and then there are events that are planned. So we'll partner with a local grassroots organization. So for the organic events, we'll just tweet out, hey, we're going to be at this street corner. Meet us there, and we'll look at Jupiter or Saturn or the moon. And then for more planned events, we'll look at what's happening already in the community and try to figure out a way to make it connect to public astronomy or just show up and say, hey, we want to hang out with you guys. Take a look through our telescope.
That sounds pretty spontaneous.
Yeah, it's very spontaneous.
And Nikita, you work, as I mentioned, at the James Webb Space Telescope, arguably the world's most anticipated telescope. What do you draw from volunteering with Popscope?
My background is in aerospace engineering. I'll be honest, I went into it because I kind of chickened out from trying to do astronomy. So this is cool because I didn't even really know how to use a telescope before doing Popscope, and I work at the Space Telescope Science Institute, so it's
that
not like there's
my
a
mind.
there's not a lot of crossovers. It's not like they train you on using a telescope when you first start working there. So this is fun because I feel like it kind of connects me to why I'm working where I am and like what the whole point is.
That's cool. So Ariel, when I think of Popscope and telescopes, and I think of you at night, like night creatures. The eclipse is not a night event.
So no, it's not.
Tell me what, from Popscope's perspective, what's going on the 21st?
Yeah, most definitely. So from Baltimore, Maryland, there'll be about a 79% eclipse. So we won't see a full eclipse from where we are. But so we have an event planned at the Sand Lot, and we'll set up around 1:30 p.m. and we'll go until around 3. And so basically what we're going to do is just put a solar filter on our telescope and let people look through at the various stages of the moon passing in front of the sun. And as long as you have solar glasses or a solar filter on your telescope, you're good. You never want to look at the sun with the naked eye.
But with a solar filter, people can look through your telescope.
Yes.
At the eclipse.
Indeed.
At as much of an eclipse as we're going to get here
yes.
in Baltimore. Where is Sandlot?
The Sandlot is right next to the Maryland Science Center at the Inner Harbor.
And so are you both going to be there, or are you going to be traveling to the Path of Totality someplace?
So I'm actually going to be in Houston for the eclipse. Well, not for the eclipse,
I was
just
gonna
during
say,
the eclipse.
Path of Totality does not go through
no.
Houston. I know that.
It's for work. We're actually conducting a huge 93-day test, a hardware test on the James Webb Space Telescope. So one of my parts of the test campaign that I have to be there for is right
that
around
day.
The time. Yeah. So I'm going to be down in Houston. So we've made a plan. The last time I was there, we all decided we were going to just stop and run out and see if we could see something. But, you know.
Ariel, are you going to be here for the
eclipse?
I'll
be there. It's going to be a really exciting event. I think my reasoning behind it was we do a lot of pop-up astronomy in Baltimore, and I wanted to be here for the people who maybe don't have access to these resources on a regular basis. And so I wanted to give them sort of an opportunity to look up.
What if it's cloudy? Do you have a plan B?
If it's cloudy, we're still going to hand out solar glasses and maybe grab a drink at the Sandlot, because it's also a cool bar made out of an Airstream trailer that's been converted into a bar.
That's Ariel Hicks, research assistant at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, here on The Record on WYPR. Also with us is Nikita Gokhale. She's a James Webb Space Telescope test engineer. They're volunteers with the street astronomy group Popscope, and we're talking about ways to view and participate in data gathering for the total solar eclipse on August 21st. This eclipse is an opportunity for citizen scientists across the country and the world to collect and share data. What kinds of things could people be watching and recording, and where could they put that data?
I actually recently learned about this volunteer-based experiment called Citizen Kate.
Citizen Kate, that's Continental America Telescope Eclipse Experiment.
Yeah. And I found out about it because, 2 weeks ago or last week, there was a movie screening by Dr. Jarita Holbrooks. She made this documentary called Black Suns about two astrophysicists who've been, traveling the world chasing total solar eclipses to basically understand the physics of the corona and the plumes during a solar eclipse. So this experiment is actually fascinating. They have volunteers spanning from Oregon to South Carolina, and there's 61 stations across across the path of the eclipse, and they've been given equipment to look at and to photograph and to collect data on the eclipse when they see it. And the point or the goal is to at least, make a cool 90-minute time lapse of the whole eclipse starting from point A to point B.
So this project is mostly photographing the eclipse?
So it's photographing and data gathering.
What kind of data?
They'll be collecting data on the corona that's visible, mm-hmm. Because they're trying to understand more about the dynamics of the plumes, the solar plumes. And there isn't a good understanding of the time evolution of a corona yet. So that's what they're hoping to gather from it. By, recording this time-lapse video, they'll get to see what happens to the corona over 90 minutes.
Ariel Hicks, are you involved in any data gathering that day?
There's actually another really cool project going on. It's the eclipsemega.movie is the website. And it's a project put on in collaboration between the University of California, Berkeley, and Google. And basically, they're asking people to take photos of the eclipse, of what they see along the path of totality. And they're going to put all of these photos together kind of in a similar fashion to what you were describing. And they're going to put it into a movie. And so that sounds pretty neat. If you go to that website, there are a lot of resources for eclipse activities and anything related to the eclipse. You can if you scroll down to the bottom of that page, there's a ton of resources there. It's the eclipsemega.movie.
We'll link to that.
And then if you're not in the path of totality, I think you get to experience this thing that has not happened in 100 years. And that's pretty phenomenal. This has all of the United States looking up together in unison. And I think, to me, that's a powerful experience. Especially what we do with Popscope is promoting community and promoting, sort of human equality. Everyone is in this together, And so that's not necessarily a data capturing perspective, but it is very exciting in that you get to take part in it together.
I understand the power of standing side by side looking up together, but I'm not sure I understand the excitement that I've heard and read so much about in the lead up to this solar eclipse. I ask our guests from NASA this same question, too. People saying it's awe-inspiring, unlike any experience they've had. But as I understand it, it's a few minutes of night in the middle of the afternoon. I don't understand how much awe that can inspire. Do either of you have an idea of why that is?
I've seen one solar eclipse. I can't remember if it was a total solar eclipse or not. I'm starting to suspect that it was a partial. But I was pretty little. It's incredible, because when you're standing there, you're waiting for the eclipse to happen, and it's like, it's a really anticipating moment, just because everyone around you is just standing there looking up at the same thing. And when it happens, everything gets dark. And it's because the moon, which is significantly smaller than the sun, is completely covering this giant ball of gas.
Because the moon is so much closer,
right,
in our perspective.
Is it 400 times smaller? I feel like I read that.
Right. Actually, yeah, the diameter of the moon is 400 times smaller than the diameter of the sun. And so it's actually a complete coincidence that the angular diameters are such that, you know, this can happen. It's not like it's a phenomenon. It's a physical phenomena. It's not, there's no reason for this to be this way, but it just so happens that the angular diameters are lined up such that the moon can cover the entire sun when you're stand and you can see it from where you are.
I appreciate you both talking to us. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Ariel Hicks is an organizer of Popscope, a group that brings Baltimore together through public astronomy. She's also a research assistant at the Center for Health Equity at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Nikita Gokhale, a James Webb Space Telescope test engineer at the Space Telescope Science Institute, also volunteers with Popscope. Earlier, we spoke with NASA scientist Noah Petro. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have links to Popscope and some of NASA's information about the eclipse, including how to be safe in observing it. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll be with us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.